Here we uncover the traditions that are working for successful parents. For the parents who are ready to do things differently but aren't sure how, go to WandaHoward.com and download my free blueprint. It will help you create the difference you've been looking for and enable your kids to be emotionally healthy and confident throughout their lives. Now is the time to start doing things differently. Welcome back, everybody, to the Successful Parents Podcast. I'm your host, Wanda Howard, and my co-host,
Emery Howard.
And today we have an amazing guest. So, Emery, please introduce our guest.
So today we have person Lorraine Cassell.
Very close. Lorraine Cannell.
Cannell.
There we go.
Yeah,
I know names are a struggle for me too.
No worries.
She is somebody that helps people get work up to their jobs, I guess. I don't really know very much. So, Lorraine Cannell, can you please tell me and the audience more about you and your business and what you do?
Yeah, I would love to. Thank you, Emery. So I am a teacher by nature. I started out as a chemistry teacher in a high school in New Hampshire. And I also was working with teenagers who were developing leadership skills. And through that journey, I realized that not every kid is given the opportunity to develop leadership skills. So if you know people who play basketball, right, what are typically some of the things that we do when we're learning to play basketball? What do we typically do?
Practice.
Yeah, right. So if I want to learn leadership, I'm going to have to practice it, right? So we want opportunities where we can practice leadership. So that is kind of what I do. And I really love working with kids who are interested in developing those skills.
That's amazing.
Yes.
So are there any questions off the top of your head?
Chemistry teacher, huh?
You love chemistry, huh?
Yes, me too. Me too. I love putting two elements together and seeing what happens, two chemicals together, and watching the reaction and learning about the things that we can't actually see and understanding what's going on and making sense of it.
That's awesome. So how did that play into like the chemistry part play into now the leadership role? Those seem very different. So how did you go from
I can perfectly see it.
Oh, tell me what you think.
Well, first of all, what you said about how like it, you realize that not all kids have the job, and just that I am a leader and a chemist, so I can see it. But
you can see it because it makes sense for you personally, since you love both of those things.
Yes.
That's really cool. So for me, I found that a lot of kids were afraid of chemistry because it's hard. And so when things are hard, a lot of times we avoid them because if we're not going to be successful, we might make a mistake. And if we make a mistake, it might not turn out the way we want it to. And so I found that in my chemistry class, I had students who wouldn't try because they were afraid they were going to make a mistake. And so I had to figure out a way to make it safe and fun and enjoyable to make mistakes. And in chemistry, we make a lot of mistakes. And in school, sometimes mistakes are not celebrated or rewarded. So I had to kind of teach kids to shift their minds from the fact that mistakes maybe are bad to mistakes are good.
Yeah. And that's a tricky thing to get across to kids that, from all walks of life with different stories and different experiences. And you've had some experience with that too, huh? Of
I have.
turning mistakes into something good, huh?
Oh, yeah. My motto, everything difficult is better than anything easy.
Yeah. And I would have kids in my class who just wanted to get great grades, right? Like, I want my paper to be perfect. And I would say to them, if your paper is perfect, then you really shouldn't be in this class. So I wanted it to be okay, not to be quote unquote perfect. Because a lot of times there is this belief that we can be perfect, and it's not only
On a
is
fun road.
perfect. Yeah, not only is perfection not something we can achieve, your definition of perfect is different than my definition of perfect.
Yeah. So, with leadership, then what's the ultimate goal for helping kids? Is it simply to be more confident in their education, or is it like specific careers that they're going after? Or when do you come into the picture as far as helping kids with their leadership?
Well, I like to work with kids who have sort of entered into eighth grade and go through high school and into that last year after high school. But like Emery is sharing with us, like leadership is something that we can learn at a very, very young age. And it's also something that we can learn continuously throughout our life, right? So going back to that idea about basketball, our learning of basketball doesn't ever end. If we truly love and want to learn something, we keep trying new ways of learning that. And the same thing is true with leadership. So my ultimate goal, with the kids that I'm working with, or with anybody that I'm working with, is to understand that leadership is something that you are continually working on, and you should never stop trying to work on your leadership skills. And for the teenagers, it's really to open the idea that not just a few people can be leaders, but everybody is a leader. Because in my definition, a leader is somebody who makes a decision, and we make decisions all the time. Sometimes those decisions are strictly for ourselves, but other times we're making decisions that impact other people.
Awesome. So what I'm understanding is like this leadership within ourself. That's what you're trying to unlock so that way they can achieve whatever it is in any aspects of their life. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. And the biggest hurdle for kids is, again, going back to that idea of making a mistake, is stepping outside of something that feels safe and comfortable and trying something that might not be safe and comfortable and be a little uncomfortable. And we'll often hear people say, it's, step outside your comfort zone, try something new. But often, like, that belief is that that might be really hard, and there are ways to step outside of our comfort zone in little steps, so that when we're ready to take a big step, we've already like kind of given ourselves that energy and that guidance on how to do it. So yes, confidence is also part of that as well.
Yeah, and I love that because I'm somebody who very much believes that yes, there's this idea that there is no growth in the comfort zone, but there's also certainly no growth without the comfort zone. You need to pair it together. It needs to be a
Stay in the
symphony.
comfort zone and grow it.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. I was actually just at a place where they talked about, like your comfort zone, if you think of it in baseball, very sports analogies today. But if you think of first base as your comfort zone and you're trying to go to second base, once you get to second base now becomes your first base. So you're growing, like Emery just said, you're growing that comfort zone. So it gets bigger and bigger. And every time you challenge yourself, you're making your comfort zone bigger. And so you have to continue to take new challenges.
That's awesome. I love that analogy, and it's so true. So, what we want to do now is something a little different than what we've done on other podcasts. I'm gonna kind of turn it over to Emery and just see kind of her questions, her natural curiosity. She was a born leader, has always wanted to inspire people and just be a leader in everything that she does. But I know that she has questions, and there's just like kind of this ambiguous nature of
what it means to be a leader and how to achieve that in more than just yourself, but how do you inspire others? So
depending on what ambiguous means, yes, very much so.
Yeah, like vague or broad. It's
and what do those mean?
Like, these are good questions. It means that there isn't like this definite opinion, kind of like what she was talking about with perfection. Is her definition of perfection is going to be different than mine. So her definition of leader could be different than mine. And so what is your definition of leader? What do you want to achieve in leadership? And how could she help you get there? So what are the questions that you have around being a leader that you have for Lorraine?
How do you lead people without throwing their ideas under the bus?
Yeah, that's a really great question. And actually, I would love to ask you a question. What are some ways that you have conversations with people who are your age, and when you're like trying to create a game or you're trying to talk about the rules, how do you listen to other people?
What do you mean by that?
Well, like if you're together with a group of your friends and you're all out on the playground and you're trying to decide what to do, what ways do you sort of listen and how do you encourage? Like, are there some times where you're listening to your friends and you notice that somebody is not really talking, and do you encourage them to share their ideas?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. And so what happens when you are with a big group of people and everybody is participating and having those conversations and listening to each other? Do you have more fun or do you have less fun?
More fun.
Yeah. So I think what your question is how do you listen to everybody? And that's really what a leader does. A leader is going to ask a question and they're going to make sure that they make sure everybody is participating. You know, maybe somebody's like, okay, I don't really want to share, but a leader is not the one who is delivering all of the information. That leader is giving questions and encouraging other people to share their ideas. And when they're not sharing ideas, they encourage them to do that. And so we often see leaders, or we think leaders are the ones that are making all of the decisions, but a good leader is one that's asking good questions and encouraging other people to share their ideas. So your question was, how do you not throw other people's ideas under the bus? And I think my answer is really just by asking more questions and encouraging you to find more information from the participants or the group that you're working with. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So what's the next question coming to your mind after hearing that? Does that answer it all, or is there like this but in your head?
But if I'm listening to everyone else, how do I also combine my idea in the ball of yarn?
Yeah, I think that's a really great, great question. So if you are all working together and you're listening to everybody, in your mind, you're taking the idea that you have and you're trying to, using your analogy of the yarn, trying to weave them all together to create the idea that sort of brings them all together. And sometimes it doesn't work out where it weaves really nicely, but other times what doesn't look nice in like a pattern actually turns out to be nice in a different way.
What's the next thing come to your head?
Because
I feel like from what you've expressed with me and the things that I know that you're thinking about, is this idea is one that you like, but there's like this loneliness with leadership, right? Of where if it's all about hearing everybody's idea and it's all about making sure that everybody's heard, it can sometimes feel like your grand, big, wonderful idea is kind of lost in the noise. And that, like, so how do you help leaders feel that fulfillment that they need as they step into that leadership role while listening to everybody, but like without doing it in a way that drowns them out or drowns their vision out or what they're trying to inspire? Specifically, like, Emery has created several different business. She's a big entrepreneur. And so she'll have these big ideas. And then if she ever tries to get friends involved, they have other big ideas, which she isn't opposed to, but she's hiring them, like having them come in more as an employee. And then they, because they get so excited, they want to take over the idea. So there's like this balance of how do you incorporate those ideas while still maintaining a direction forward for like a child? And this is a topic that we've talked a lot about and debated on. So I'm just curious to know more of how you help kids navigate that tricky scenario.
Yeah. Okay. So I guess my first thought is the fact that without Emery or without a leader like Emery, these ideas aren't even going to be in existence. So the reason that sometimes it feels like your idea gets sort of drowned or enmeshed into other people's ideas can feel a little bit like your idea is being lost. But it's also really important to realize that without your idea in the first place, none of the other stuff would exist. And so I think sometimes we have to step back and see that all of these ideas coming together originated from your initial idea. And it looks different and it feels different, but without you, none of it would exist. And so I might just encourage you to, when you feel like other people are sort of changing and challenging what your original idea is to take that original idea and maybe sort of draw some lines into how you got to where you are. And it's also really important to remember that if you don't like what somebody else is sharing, giving them the courage and giving them the idea to take their idea and move it in the same direction that you took your idea. So like, does that make sense? Like if I'm creating a lemonade stand, right? And somebody else is like, yeah, but I want to do cookies. And you're like, nope, that's too different than what I want to do. You might say to that friend, hey, I love your idea about cookies. Why don't you connect with this person and see if they want to do cookies with you? And then you're building this community of other people who feel like they can do what you're doing. And I think that sometimes that doesn't get seen as well, but what you're doing, you're creating other leaders, and there's no greater reward than knowing that you have inspired other people to do really cool things.
I really like that input though of just taking your idea, and that's a tricky situation when you're wanting to build a grander idea and you're talking with friends and then they come up with an idea that you're like, no, that's not where I want. I'm not okay with that one. To feel like, what can you say? So just that simple tip of encouraging them on with that thought on their own of like, hey, yeah, that's a great thought, but maybe go do it with another person because that's not what we're trying to build over here. And that's a very respectful way to go about it. Did that answer your question then?
I think so, yeah.
So what would be some of the things, like opportunities for kids that you're interested in, Emery, that involve leadership? Is it more speaking? Is it more career based? Like, why is being a leader important to you?
I am the oldest.
It's just in your DNA, huh?
Yeah.
So,
yes.
Yeah, I was going to ask Lorraine then, what would you say to a kid that they feel this fire or this spark inside of them of wanting to lead, wanting to inspire other people, but they're not even sure where to use that talent? And you're talking about like in our personal lives, and we've talked a little bit about entrepreneur, but is there a place where kids can go to really develop this skill more than maybe the typical just experiencing it in various areas of your life? Or is there places where kids go to develop leadership and to start making it work for them right now instead of just when they get older and have a job or things like that?
Yeah, I think that's kind of why I started Peers Not Peers. I was noticing that a very small percentage of kids in schools were getting the experience of leadership. And a lot of times they were already students who had leadership skills. So going back to basketball, they were the, you know, the natural athletes. And so there were all these other students who weren't like Emery, who maybe was an oldest and had already developed some leadership and had a mom who encouraged them to take on entrepreneurial type things. You know, there's a lot of kids, I would say upwards of 90% of kids who are not getting leadership experience. And when I started to put that fact into my brain, I was like, well, there needs to be a place, because we all end up doing things in our lives. Maybe we're a parent, maybe we're not, but we still have to make decisions that impact ourselves. And where can students of all walks of life get some experience in leadership? And so that's, it isn't really a natural place that is found in schools. And so that's why I created Peers Not Fears, because I really did want any kid who was interested in developing leadership to find a place that they could develop leadership. There are a lot of things that schools do, right? So there is student government, there are captains on sports teams, clubs tend to have, you know, leaders within them, but that's a real small percentage of kids. And often we're seeing the same kids doing all of those same experiences. So, you know, what my vision is that there's a group of kids who want to develop leadership, and then they take what they've learned and they share it with other kids, kind of like we were just talking about with Emery and her ideas, right? So Emery could be inspiring all of her friends to do the same thing that she's doing. So she's creating leaders among her peers. And I think if we can make more opportunities for kids to share leadership and help them grow each other, then we're going to create a world where kids create new experiences for others. And we're going to have a world where people see each other for who they are and what they can achieve, and not just what I want to do.
Yeah. I really like that too, that you keep bringing up the kids that want to develop the skill, because I've been so intrigued, especially after having kids of my own, of seeing how some of them, they want to lead, they want that. And others are like, their fill, their light, their spark is from following. They love to support Emery. They love to just see what new ideas she has. And so it's really interesting how...
Those ones are my favorite. Actually, I don't know which ones don't support.
Yeah.
They all support mm-hmm. as a leader.
Yeah. Well, and you are really inspiring them. Maybe they're not ready now. Maybe they're just like doing the things that you're encouraging them to do because they're really excited by the energy and the excitement that you have. But, you know, maybe in 5 years, they're like, you know, when Emery did that, that really inspired me. I wonder if I could do that for somebody else, right? Maybe they're not ready now, but they're seeing you and they're going to remember the kind of energy and excitement that you brought into their world, and they may want to do that for somebody else. And then that person that they're touching and bringing excitement to might feel that way in a couple of years and touch somebody else. And it becomes this just ripple effect of creating opportunities and excitement through one individual person named Emery.
Oh, I love that. And I love this, like, just the more that we give, the more that we serve, it really does just have that ripple effect. But I'm really curious though, what is it about your story, your growing up, your family life? Like, how has leadership impacted your life?
I think when you said, you know, when I had my own children, you know, I had been an educator for maybe 5 years before I had my first child. And through his journey, I realized how different life was as a child than what I imagined it was. And so for me, seeing, you know, I use this example a lot. Like, I was the teacher who sent homework home because, like, that's how I learned and that's how what I did. But then when I had my own children and I was like, but I also want to spend time with them and I don't want them spending, you know, their out of school time, you know, doing whatever sport, but then coming home and having to do homework, I was like, where is that balance? And it really impacted me as an educator. And very similarly, I was seeing myself through my students and seeing, you know, like, oh, wait, these opportunities weren't also available for me. Why not? I want it to be available for all of these kids. Why isn't it available for them? Why wasn't it available for me? And then it just sort of like created this tornado of like, there needs to be more space, more opportunities for all kids. They're not all at the level of leadership. Not every kid has the same level of basketball. Not every kid has the same level of leadership. But if we make the assumption that they can all develop leadership, then we can improve everybody a little bit, and there's no downside to that.
Yeah, definitely. I love that. Well, Emery, do you have any other questions? I kind of took over again.
Yeah, I noticed. not really. I have gotten all my answers.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Lorraine, so much for joining us. And where is the best place for people to find you if they're wanting to help their kids with leadership?
So most of my social media is one word, peers, not fears, but my website has dashes in between because, Emery, you might find this funny. If you write that one word out, peers, but you don't put a space between the S and the N, it becomes peer, not peers. So we put dashes in between the S and the N. So it's peers-not-fears.com. And there are online activities for kids to do. There are usually every month I have a free Zoom where we talk about the comfort zone and how some people have things in their comfort zone and other people have things in their panic zone. So I'm curious, Emery, do you think every kid you know would be as comfortable doing the things that you're doing, like building businesses? Or do you think some people find that comfortable and other people may not?
Some people do, some people don't.
Right. So we all have these things in our lives that we're really comfortable with, but maybe there's something that you find to be really, really uncomfortable and you're not ready to do that yet. And you find somebody else who maybe can help you. And when we're in our comfort zone, like your mom said, we're not learning. When we're so far out of our comfort zone, that's called our panic zone, we also can't learn. So it's somewhere in the middle that we want to find ourselves. And that's when I talk about that in my free workshop. And that's for teens and parents and anybody working with teens. It's a really great opportunity to understand that comfort zone and the panic zone and where that middle zone is. So, oh, that's awesome. I really appreciate you having me on, Wanda, and I really enjoyed connecting and listening to you, Emery. I really am excited for the leadership that you are bringing to your community and eventually the greater community out there. So I'm excited. What are some of the things that you're doing?
Being a babysitter.
Being a babysitter. Very good. Yeah,
that's she definitely fantastic. Helps out a lot with babysitting and animals, and she's done other businesses like lemonade stands and doll kits, and
yeah, my first
reading to people for $1 and lots of different things.
What's some advice that you have for kids your age about being a leader?
To be a leader, you don't want to stick in the shadows. You want to go up front.
Yeah, and sometimes it's a little scary and hard, but when you do it, you learn and grow from it, right?
Mm-hmm. Cool. Love that. Good advice. Well, thanks again, Lorraine, and definitely everybody go check out the websites. Those will be in the show notes as well, so you'll be able to find her easily, and we will see you all next time.
Bye!
Thank you again for being a part of our podcast family and for the difference you are making right now in the world and in the walls of your own home. If you're wanting to support parents everywhere, you can do that by leaving a rate and review. This helps so many find connection and answers they are searching for. Also, don't forget to go to wandahoward.com and get your own free parenting blueprint. I love you all, and we will see you next time.